At Emory University, we believe in those with the ambition to achieve, the passion to learn, and the optimism to see the possibilities ahead. Founded on a belief that the wise heart seeks knowledge, an Emory education combines experiential learning in Atlanta and beyond with unrivaled collaboration and discovery, all to prepare you for a world that needs your leadership. Learn more at emory.edu.
This is CBS Eye on the World. I'm John Batchelor. Behind the Black. Behind the Black is commercial space and big space. We're beginning with commercial space. Bob Zimmerman keeps Behind the Black, and he's my resource for what failure means in the booster business. Bob, you report that Rocket Factory's Augsburg rocket failed a static fire test. Translate that. What's that mean? Is that a bad thing? Good evening to you.
It's both a good and a bad thing, but it's a complicated thing. Rocket Factory Augsburg is one of the about five different European rocket startups that are trying to develop their commercial rockets for sale to European Space Agency and other private concerns. And Rocket Factory Augsburg was in the lead for getting the first orbital launch going. They had all three stages of their RFA rocket at the Saxaford spaceport in the Shetland Islands. And they were hoping to get approval from the Civil Aviation Authority to launch, and they said, in the coming weeks. This was earlier this week. They said that, in the coming weeks. I was skeptical of that because the Civil Aviation Authority is extremely risk-averse and very slow, and I expected them to not issue a permit right away. But it appears that the statement, and then hopefully launching in a couple of weeks, was because they were going to do a static fire test of the first stage using all nine of its engines. They've done previous static fire tests at Saxaford of the first stage with four engines and was successful. But they needed to do a full nine-engine static fire test to prep for the actual launch. Once that static fire test occurred, they could put the upper stages on, and they could then launch once they had the launch license. And I guess they were hoping that they do the static fire test, it would go well, and that would clear the way for the CAA, Civil Aviation Authority, to issue their permit. Unfortunately, the problem was that this week, that static fire test turned out to be a failure. During the firing of the engines, something happened. I've got a picture on Behind the Black as well as video on Behind the Black of this test, and it appears that something started to burn sideways, which is absolutely wrong. It should be going down, and very soon the rocket exploded, and they lost the first stage. They say that no one was injured, which I believe. They also say they were able to save the launch pad, no damage. I don't believe that quite yet, but probably not in a significant way. That's I would say for sure. But this puts a real damper on Rocket Factory Augsburg's attempt to launch this rocket. They were hoping to launch it this year. They have to rebuild the first stage at this point, and they're going to have to figure out what went wrong on this particular test fire. And they're going to have to deal with the fact that the risk-averse Civil Aviation Authority in the UK might be much more reluctant to allow a launch permit to happen without significant additional testing before launch.
Is this the first time Saxaford has been used for anything?
Pretty much. They've been doing static fire tests at Saxaford for the last 6 months, this company. But they only got their launch licenses, multiple licenses from the spaceport, only got its launch licenses from CAA, what is it, about 2 months ago?
Yeah.
And that was, and there's still, I think, one more launch license they have to get. It's really, red tape here has been a real disaster for Saxaford from the CAA. They're really, really slow. This is what happened to Virgin Orbit. They thought they were ready to launch out of an airport in Cornwall, but the CAA then spent 6 months giving them a launch license, and in the process, Virgin Orbit ran out of money and eventually went bankrupt. And so we're facing the same problem here.
ULA, I was puzzled, Bob, at that anecdote you told about the CEO of ULA looking at a photograph of a new engine boasted by Musk at SpaceX and saying it wasn't complete. I was puzzled by it, and now it looks like there was something amiss at the company that is moving them to sell. Is that how to think of it?
No, that's not. That's I wouldn't agree with that at all, John. I mean, the reason that Tari Bruno, CEO of ULA, didn't understand that picture is because SpaceX is just so far advanced than everybody else, including ULA. But ULA itself has a rocket, Vulcan, and it has a stock of Atlas V rockets that are already scheduled for launch, and it's got contracts down the road that are going to bring it money, and there's no question it's got a viable situation down the road. Is it competitive with SpaceX? Yes, because there's no other options at the moment. And is it trying to be technically competitive with SpaceX? I would say yes, but not as enthusiastically as I would like. But there has been talk and rumors for the last 6 months that ULA is up for sale. ULA is owned by Boeing and Lockheed. They joined together to create this rocket company back in the early aughts, and they own it together. But there have been rumors they want to sell it off, and there's been rumors that Blue Origin would buy it. There's been rumors that Lockheed would buy Boeing out and take over. This past weekend, there was a story at Reuters that said that Sierra Space is in negotiations to buy ULA now. Sierra Space is the company that's building the Dream Chaser Tenacity mini shuttle that's going to bring cargo up and down to ISS. They hope to someday make it a manned vehicle. Multiple make many of those mini shuttles. They're also partnering in the orbital reef space station that Blue Origin is building. And so buying a rocket company here that would give them a launch capability would really strengthen that company. So it would really be a good deal for Sierra Space. It would probably be a good deal for Boeing because it gets some cash they need to kind of fix their company. I'm not sure what Lockheed Martin will gain from this sale. It's under negotiation. It might not happen. These are all anonymous sources. They say the sale price would range from $2 to $3 billion. Who knows? This could be just part of the negotiation process, and it might not even happen. But ULA, yes, has been rumored to be for sale for a while, but I'm not sure it's because the company has problems so much as there's assets there that people want.
Rocket Lab, two escapade orbiters. For where? Where are they headed?
Mars. Rocket Lab is not just a rocket company. They make satellites, and they also make interplanetary service modules to send satellites to other places. They sent the Capstone mission to orbit the moon. They didn't build the satellite, but they built the system to get it there. And so they're building two identical escapade orbiters to go around Mars to study the interaction of the solar wind and the magnetic field of the sun with the intermittent magnetic field of an atmosphere of Mars. And so these have now been shipped to Cape Canaveral for launch in late September or October on the very first flight of Blue Origin's New Glenn rocket. That they're shipping them now does suggest that New Glenn will launch in late September, early October. Let's hope. We've been hoping for that rocket to launch for now 5 years. It would be a good thing if it launched. We hope we don't lose these two orbiters, but they are small sats. They're designed to be efficient and cheap to build. The problem I have is I don't know what the launch window is for the Escapade Mars orbiters. They would have to launch sometime in this fall, I think, or they have to wait 2 more years. So if New Glenn gets delayed significantly, it would make a significant delay in these two orbiters. That's the one thing we don't know, how long that window is.
You remind me, Bob, I've been reading about the sun and the anecdotes about tracking the sun, sunspots, what you've been doing for years. And I ran into a case saying not only are the sunspots not clearly understood and how they may or may not affect Earth's climate, but so for the solar wind. Is that correct? Is that an unknown for our climate on Earth, the solar wind?
Not as much as I would not say significantly, no. I mean, there are always unknowns in all these things, things we don't know, and you could learn more. But in terms of the issue with the sun's radiation and the solar cycle and the climate has to do very specifically with the possibility that the solar wind and the solar cycle could be affecting climate change much more significantly than carbon dioxide. And that's the unknown that they would like to learn more, that some would like to learn more about, others would like to not have any of that research happen because it's political issues.
Is the study of it from Mars's point of view contributing to the thinking about it?
There'd always be some benefit, but I think most of that would be teaching us something about how the Martian environment is like. That's more important. But you're learning about how the sun functions and the solar wind and its magnetic field functions throughout the solar system cannot help but help you learn about this stuff.
All right. The bus company's at it again, Bob. SpaceX launching millions of payloads with no problems. Everything happens. And they use
this is an interesting launch, John, that happened this past weekend. They do what they call transporter missions, which is they offer a launch with as many small sats as possible at low cost. So 116 payloads were launched on the 11th transporter mission this past weekend, which means this just demonstrates once again how lowering the cost to launch brings customers out. Even though SpaceX is pulling in a lot of business on these transporter missions and a lot of payloads, some of these are orbital tugs, by the way, or deployment systems. They're not actual satellites. But it brings out business for them, but they're not taking up the whole market. The lowering cost has produced so much business that there's plenty for others, rocket startups as well, which is why you're seeing rocket startups appearing all over the place. And so that's what this launch demonstrates, John.
I was just flattering SpaceX about how routine it seems now.
Yes, I would agree with that.
They must have many launch teams that are trained and being trained because they launch so often.
They probably have two launch, I'm guessing here, they probably have at least two launch teams working regular hours at both Kennedy and Cape Canaveral and at Vandenberg in each place so that they can launch very regularly, which they do.
And wasn't that a launch team that was leaving ULA? I remember the story you did recently about
not specifically the launch team, but what has happened is that a lot of people who are involved in that kind of work have been leaving ULA to get work at other companies. And it's not just SpaceX. They probably got work at Blue Origin, which is getting ready to do a launch, as well as other places.
All right, now we come to a lesson in NASA that Bob can explain. NASA is reconsidering a cancellation of something called a robotic refueling mission. And the backstory is fabulous. Please tell, Bob.
Yes, this is a project called OSAM. It's supposed to be on-orbit servicing and assembly and manufacturing. The idea was to refuel a defunct Landsat satellite that's in orbit. The program was first proposed by the Goddard team in about 2010 that used to do the Hubble repair missions. Well, they didn't have Hubble to repair anymore, so they proposed doing a demo mission to prove that it was a viable idea to refuel and service robotically as satellites in orbit. And they proposed this back in 2010 and said it would cost about $250 million, $227 million to do it. It is now 14 years later. They are now at a point where the budget is, it's about $1 billion+, and they're a decade behind schedule, and they have not done any refueling or resurfacing yet, no demo. They did a demo mission on ISS where they did some demonstration of a robot doing some work on ISS, but they actually haven't done the refueling of a dead satellite in all this time. And so a few months ago, NASA announced, because of the overages, they're canceling the project. And there's another reason to cancel the project was that originally this was to demonstrate that robotic servicing of satellites and refueling of satellites could be done. But in the interim, while they twiddled their thumbs and spent money and didn't get anything accomplished, private enterprise has come along and done it. There's at least several orbital tugs. Northrop Grumman's MEV vehicles have already serviced several satellites and extended their life significantly. So there's no reason to demonstrate this anymore. The trouble is that Congress wants the money spent. This organization at Goddard, they hire 450 people to do this project. 450 people is absurd because it probably exceeds the payrolls of all the orbital tug companies in the world. And they haven't got anything done. And so NASA wants to cancel it, but of course Congress wants the money, so the Senate has pushed for them to keep the project, and so NASA is now looking into ways to fulfill Congress's obligations, and we'll see how it goes.
So NASA's going to create a project that's still, it sounds like it's still on the drawing boards.
They've built stuff. No, there's no question. They've done a lot of construction. There's no doubt about this. They haven't launched anything yet. after 14 years. It shouldn't take more than, at most, 5 years to get a project like this off.
Couldn't they just go buy one from another company and say they...
Well, that's not the point. The point is it's supposed to be an engineering demo of such servicing capabilities. So if you buy it from someone else, you're not demonstrating anything anymore, and there's no point. The satellite that's defunct, it would be nice to bring it back. No one's really asking for that particular Landsat satellite to get refueled. It would be nice. NASA should consider that idea. But, you know, once again, the project itself is a waste, is really a disaster. And it's government in operation.
Bob Zimmerman, he keeps the website Behind the Black. We're going exploring the cosmos. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.